Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com. I'm Pastor Greg, and I welcome you to our current events update, and then our study in Acts chapter 15, verses 22 through 31, titled, They Delivered the Epistle. The conclusion of this two-part message can be found at BBFOhio.com as we now begin. This is part one of two. Our current events update. And yes, I do have the microphone on now. But number one, we have our weekly Israel at War update. Today's date, 3/31/24, day 175, with the 134 hostages remain with no hostage deal in sight. And like the left, the U.S., here in the U.S., the nation of Israel has its own useful idiots. Now, I don't use that term as an insult. That's a historically used term for people who side with the enemy. I believe it was Vladimir Lenin or Joseph Stalin who coined this about the left in America, who were helping the communist cause, and to this day, they still do. And that's why he called them useful idiots. Now, in Israel, you might have seen this, they had a lot of protests and near riots erupt across Israel as families demand action for hostage deal and new elections. A lot of people, including the left in this country, always likes to blame the good guys for what's going on and not the people who cause it. And that's what's going on in Israel. Families of hostages call for Netanyahu's ouster. They blame him for no deal, which is dishonest. I feel bad for these families who have lost loved ones and have loved ones being held hostage, but they're lying to themselves and everybody else when they don't blame Hamas. Hamas is asking for ridiculous terms because they don't want a ceasefire in reality unless they can get a victory by having a ceasefire and not being attacked by Israel anymore. And I've got a policy. Anybody who approaches me about this and wants to talk about calling what Israel is doing genocide or whatever, I will not talk to you unless you will sit down and watch with me the video where you have to see the bodies of people who were raped and murdered and women who were raped in front of their own husbands and children and then shot in the head by Hamas. Unless you'll sit down and watch that video, shut up.
Amen.
Anybody, most of these people out here protesting on the streets, they're ignorant and they're willfully ignorant. They will not look at the evidence. Amen. That's what we're dealing with. Sadly, few of those hostages are probably even alive, and that might explain why Hamas is not agreeing to terms, because they really don't have hostages, they have corpses. And so that's why they're not agreeing to any terms for an hostage exchange. And then there are many false reports about Israel, and they're false because of the info that's missing, not as much as what's in those reports. This is an example. This was posted on X by an account called Timcast, and they're actually not bad most of the time. But they posted this SCNR News, which I believe is their own news site. And the headline says, new report finds reasonable grounds Israel is committing acts of genocide against Palestinians. What's wrong with that report? Not only is it historically dishonest and inaccurate, but they're not telling you the rest of the story. The story goes on to say, amid a growing wave of international disapproval regarding Israel's military operations in Gaza, look at this, a leading human rights expert says there exist reasonable grounds to classify Israel's conduct as constituting genocide. What did they not tell you? What's missing? While the scope of her report centered on examining claims of genocide, United Nations Human Rights Council Special Rapporteur Francesca Albanese. The United Nations is a terrorist organization. The United Nations, UNRWA, and others helped Hamas kill, rape, mutilate, and take hostage Jews and others in Israel. The United Nations was involved in it. That's not an opinion, that's a fact. The UN admitted it. Hundreds of their workers were involved in it. And that's the organization that is then reporting that this, there's reasonable grounds for calling it genocide. They know what you would think. That's why they didn't tell you in the headline that it was a United Nations writer, reporter. And then it goes on to admit, explicitly condemning the crimes committed by Hamas and other Palestinian armed groups, who, while also calling for the release of all hostages, and yet this UN reporter didn't mention that her own organization was involved in it. It wasn't just Palestinians. It was a Palestinian United Nations terror attack on Israel. That's a fact. So, Israeli officials immediately rejected the report and saying, quote, the very attempt to level the charge of genocide against Israel is an outrageous distortion of the Genocide Convention, and so forth, and that's true. So ignore the UN and any charges of genocide. A lie is a lie. And charging Israel with genocide, then go tell your grandparents or whoever was alive in, still during World War II, that they're genocidal maniacs. Because what Israel is doing is exactly what the United States of America did in World War II in Germany. And unless you're really willing to call your grandparents genocidal maniacs and to totally disown America's acts in World War II, then stop lying about Israel. Amen? Amen. And we will continue to stand with Israel and pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Amen. So number two, the latest evil from our senile, reprobate president. His wife was actually behind this. White House bans religious Easter eggs from art contest. It's supposed to be an Easter egg hunt, which supposedly has something to do with the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and you're not supposed to have religious art in the Easter egg art contest. You know why? Because the Democrat Party is satanic. That's why. Because Joe Biden and his wife worship Satan. That's why. That's why anybody who claims to be a Christian that kills babies is a Satanist. That's why. That's why. As if that weren't bad enough, Biden proclaims Easter Sunday to be Transgender Day of Visibility. He's a Satanist. That's why. And this is not a joke. Go right to the White House web page, complete with a little Easter bunny and eggs. A proclamation on Transgender Day of Visibility 2024. On Transgender Day of Visibility, we honor the extraordinary courage. Folks, you're spitting in the face of God if you say that. You're a Satanist if you say that. God has said that men are men and women are women and everything else comes right from Lucifer. Amen. You have the heart of a devil if you disagree with what I just said. Everybody online, anybody here, make it clear. You need to repent before it's too late. Amen. You'll split hell wide open if you agree with this. You're as lost as Lucifer himself. We honor the extraordinary courage and contributions of taking America to hell. That's what we're supposed to. Of transgender Americans and reaffirm our nation's commitment to forming a more perfect union. I'll guarantee you there wasn't a single founding father involved in the Declaration of Independence, the ratification of the Constitution or Bill of Rights, who would agree with our reprobate president on this matter. Not one. I don't think you'd have found anybody in our country, in the borders of the United States of America, who would agree with this filth, this wickedness. And the silence from all the people who claim to be Christians on this, you know what you're proving? That God is right. God said in the last days, the majority of professing Christians would be fakes. Amen. And you're just proving it. We go on. Transgender Americans are part of the fabric of our nation. No, they are part of the cesspool that is bringing our nation to hell. Whether serving their communities or in the military, raising families or running businesses, I was going to say ruining businesses, they help America thrive and so forth. That's just lie upon lie, one after another. Now, therefore, I, Joseph R. Biden Jr., in the name of Satan, President of the United States of America, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Constitution and the laws of the United States, do hereby proclaim March 31st, 2024, when the majority of Christians in this country are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ, even though they're wrong on that too, and we'll come back to that in a minute, on a day where he understands to be a day to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he's going to celebrate an abomination. He is going to celebrate Sodom. And Jesus said, it'll be like Sodom in the days of Lot in the end. Amen. And he warns anybody who sides with Biden on this, remember Lot's wife. That's where you're going. By the way, I put the website, because people sometimes like to accuse us of just making stuff up, and sometimes they'll go scrub it. It was there. And you can find it on archive.org later if they scrub it. This is other Democrat Marxist Satanists, like Governor Kathy Hochul, orders New York landmarks lit up in trans flag colors on Easter Sunday. I don't have the picture, but I've shown you before. It used to be they lit up crosses in New York on the buildings. Now they light up Sodom collars on Easter Sunday. Senator Tuberville, I was thinking of this coach. On Joe Biden's Easter blasphemy, Democrats are a satanic cult. I'm just showing you, he said it because, you know, there's many people saying that right now. Now, we always have to be bipartisan. If you're a Republican, you're no better. Your elite leaders of your party are just as satanic. They all go out to that Bohemian Grove and worship the big owl and have all their satanic fun out there. It's rank and file Americans who are still true to their country. Amen. Both parties have gone to hell. The Democrats are bold about it. The Republican leadership right now is still in a battle, but most of the leadership, like McConnell and, you know, those people, they're just as satanist as the Democrat Party. So you better vote for the person and not the party. Amen. Amen. Finally, we want to touch on this because today is, on your calendar, Easter Sunday, right? Now listen, I've said this before. We're not out to change the whole world and culture when it comes to celebrating holidays. Someone comes up to me, some of you did it today. Happy Easter. I just say, He is risen. Amen. That's the real point that we need to get across. When you go out to the world, don't try to tell all these unsaved people in your neighborhood all the facts about Easter. He is risen. That's what they need to hear. Amen. Why is he risen? Because he shed his blood on the cross and paid for the sins of the whole world. He was buried, and after 3 days, he rose again. That's the main point. But you come to church to learn the truth. Amen? Amen. If you don't, you're in the wrong place. But in most churches today, they won't tell people the truth. And what we want you to understand, just like how many of you know Christmas is not Jesus' real birthday? But I love Christmas. I have as much fun with Christmas as any Catholic or agnostic or even the Jews. You know, they love Christmas. They make a lot of money off of that down at the department store. That's a Jew told me that joke. He said there were a Catholic, a Baptist, and a Jew. And they said, what do you do on Christmas Eve? And the Catholic says, well, we go to midnight mass, and then we go home and we open gifts and sing Old Tannenbaum. And the Baptist says, well, we don't have a midnight service or anything, but we spend time with family. We get up in the morning and open our presents, and we sing Silent Night. And the Jew says, I looked at the Jew and they said, what do you do on Christmas? He said, well, we go down to Pop's department store, we stand around the cash register and hold hands and sing, what a friend we have in Jesus. A Jew told me that, so I'm allowed to tell that joke. All this stuff, what you have to understand is you have to have your own knowledge of things, because most in what is religion, including Christian religion today, is nonsense. So you have to, you know, weed through that stuff and get to the truth. Proverbs 18:13 says, "He that answereth the matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him." Amen. So you want to be teachable, but don't be gullible. You know, don't believe everything that comes down the pike. Test everything by the Word of God, and then if it's not something biblical, if it's historical, you can do your research and find out if it's historically true as well. So we do not condemn others for observing Easter, and we don't make a big deal about it. But the reason why you don't see a bunch of bunnies and eggs and happy Easter signs and everything when you come here is because what we want to emphasize is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we don't want to lend credence to things that are just not true. And I just hate the fact that what I'm about to tell you is true, but it's true. Our purpose is to teach the facts and educate believers about the truth. Well, what's the truth? First of all, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is an historical event and a fact of history. Anyone who tells you that they don't believe Jesus rose from the dead, they're denying all legitimate standards of historical evidence. You'll hear agnostics, atheists, and non-Christians tell you that the evidence is that Jesus came out of that tomb. What they'll want to argue is that maybe he didn't actually die and that he swooned or all that, but then those theories have totally been demolished. So they'll say that out of one side of their mouth, but then you ask them later and they'll admit that none of those alternate theories hold true. So, this is going to be a hard pill to swallow. But Easter Sunday is fiction. Why is that? Well, number one, April 26, 2024 will be the actual anniversary of the resurrection of Jesus. If you want to really celebrate on the day that Jesus rose from the dead, it wouldn't be Good Friday this year, it'd be Easter Friday. No, be Resurrection Friday. Amen. That's what day. Here, we have it worked out. You can go to bbfohio.com. We have this available for free. You can download it. I've provided this every year for several years. You will see, well, here's how it's kind of deductive. Jesus rose on Sunday, and then we know he was crucified on Nisan 14. So with those facts, all you have to do is take Sunday, count back the evening, and you come to the evening of Nisan 14. How many days is that? Count them. It takes you back to, on this calendar, it doesn't show you. We have another one. Let me see. I didn't post up here. But he was crucified on a Wednesday, buried before sundown Wednesday. Then from Wednesday sundown was Thursday sundown, Friday sundown, Saturday sundown, and he rose from the dead sometime after Saturday sundown. So on two points, Good Friday and Easter Sunday fail. Good Friday, he wasn't crucified on Friday. And this isn't guesswork. But you know, you say, well, why does the whole Christian world seem to go with Good Friday and Easter Sunday? Look at the whole Christian world, folks. You don't want to be Christian world. You want to be biblical. And that's Bible. So this year, Nisan 14 ends on our calendar, it'll be sundown Monday, April 22nd. And then you count 1, 2, 3. Jesus would have rose again sometime after sundown Thursday, the 25th, before daybreak of the 26th. And so most people believe that he rose from the dead sometime around sunrise, which would put it in Friday, April 26th. Now, what are you going to do with that? The only thing I'm asking you to do is understand something. This ain't fiction. This ain't make-believe. These aren't cartoons. This really happened. It's an historic event. Jesus actually rose from the dead. How many of you know what day of the week you were born on? obviously the actual anniversary of the resurrection of Jesus could not fall on the same day of the week each year. I was born on a Thursday. The anniversary of my birth, otherwise known as birthday, is never on Thursday every year. It's not on Thursday every year. So just, it don't take a lot of brain power here, folks. Jesus rose on a Sunday on Nisan 18 the next year. The first anniversary of his resurrection was not on a Sunday. And it only rarely lands on a Sunday every year since. So can I ask you, do you want a real faith based on fact? Or do you want to play with the bunnies and the eggs and the Easter Sunday? That's your choice. But, you know, I'm thankful for all the churches today that will preach that he is risen. And I'm thankful that there will be people, around the world, there's going to be people believe and be saved today. And we thank God for every bit of that. But what I am not thankful for, and I'm not going to pretend otherwise, is I'm not thankful for fiction. Amen. Whenever we have the facts and the truth. So there's what a calendar looks like. The April 2024th, the week of Passover, Nisan 14. I'll blow it up there for you. This year is on a Monday. Begins sunset. The 18th is on a Friday. Nisan 18. And so there you go. Again, that is available at bbfi.com, and just scroll down, you'll see that, and another chart available online. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
And that's the most important thing. Amen? Amen? So we pick up in Acts chapter 15 as the apostles send Paul and Barnabas to deliver a letter to Antioch, and they deliver the epistle. What you'll see today is what we're going to see in our verse-by-verse study of the book of Acts is what church meetings are supposed to be. They're not, plays and cantatas with Batman being crucified and resurrected or a cowboy being crucified and resurrected, as we showed you on Wednesday that some churches are doing. But the idea that if we could have Jesus' character rise from the dead and hook him up to something, have him floating through the congregation, that somehow that might reach people, whereas the Word will not. That, again, is anti-biblical. It's against the scriptural teaching that it's the power of the Word of God that changes. The problem, though, isn't the Word of God. The problem is the person listening. Exactly. That if the person listening, first of all, you don't receive the Word of God as the Word of God. But then, even if you give lip service to that, but you're not an active hearer, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You will not be saved if you don't receive the truth of the Word of God and believe on Jesus Christ for your eternal salvation. But you also not grow as a Christian spiritually if you will not receive what's taught. And so that's what church is about. A lot of churches today will make it all about having unsaved people come to church. I have been asking for years, please show me one example of that in the Bible. It's not in there. The purpose of church meetings is for Christians to come together, study the Word, simply reading through the letters verse by verse, and then you go out, and if you reach somebody with the gospel and they believe and are saved, that's when you bring them to church. And I warn you, there's some people, you bring some people to church and they sit under this kind of stuff, they'll go away mad. They might not even stick around. So you got to be careful with that kind of thing. So we're going to read Acts 15, 22 to 31. That's our text. And I'll have you read the even verses. So start with me with verse 22 through 31. Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief of men among the brethren. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and elders and brethren send greeting unto the brethren, which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. Forasmuch as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying, ye must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. It seemed good to unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that ye abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well. Fare ye well. So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle, which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation. Amen? Well, Paul and Barnabas deliver said epistle, and we see how a local church are to function. This is how, when you go to a local church that claims to be a Christian church, this is how the local church is supposed to function.